friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. We're about a month away from the final round of qualifying matches for this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. The qualifiers are scheduled the weekend of March 22nd and March 23rd in Africa. And after those matches are played, we'll know the 24 teams, the most teams in Nations Cup history, who will compete at Egypt 2019. The qualified teams will then have about 3 months to get ready for the African football showpiece, which is scheduled from June 21st to July 19th. So far, 14 teams have officially qualified for this year's Africa Cup of Nations. Let's run them down now in alphabetical order. They are Algeria, host Egypt, Ghana, Guinea, Ivory Coast, Kenya, Madagascar, Mali, Mauritania, Morocco, Nigeria, Senegal, Tunisia, and Uganda. And let's give Sunny Side a sports salute to the teams from Madagascar and Mauritania, which will be making their debuts at the Africa Cup of Nations. The Super Eagles of Nigeria, meanwhile, will be making their 18th appearance at the Continental Championship. Nigeria has lifted the Nations Cup trophy 3 times in 1980, 1994, and 2013. The German Gernot Rohr is the current manager of the Super Eagles, and I'm sure he's heard or read some tactical advice from the many fans of the Nigerian team. In fact, some have joked that Nigeria has a manager and 200 million assistant coaches. Agbona Wuke is one of those Nigerian fans. Agbona is a journalist and also a former member of the Nigerian House of Representatives. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Agbona said he liked to see Coach Rohr use a few local players as Nigeria prepares for the Nations Cup in Egypt.
I just think that the role of a technical advisor in this mold is supposed to be not just that of running the national team. It's also intended to get him to develop our football. That's one of the things that made Vesehoff very different from all who are served in Nigeria. Vesehoff came here with an intention to develop our soccer. And I'm certain that by the time Vesehoff came here to Nigeria to do that task, most of our players were not as exposed as they are today. Therefore, it means that there's something unique also, because football is Nigerian in some way. Nigerians love football, and there are talents that abound in this country. It's just that the technical advisor should find time to reach out, find what the local teams are doing, and then see how he can ensure a blend. Nobody can tell him what to do, but I believe that it shouldn't be seen like the former coach of Manchester United, who only simply deals with finished materials. Other coaches produce those materials. Now, a serious coach will go down and try and find out the best way, the best approach on how to develop talents. So that's a man should do just that.
What's your take on the Nigerian Professional Football League? Do we have the talents there that are doing well?
Of course, there are young talents that are coming. And in truth, all you just need to do right now is to find the best way of developing our league. You know, I think that the major challenge is that we have not been able to develop our league into a brand. Now, if you compare that to what happened in South Africa, you simply notice the difference. Perhaps the fact that club owners are not investing so much, the fact that perhaps up to this time most club owners are government, the seriousness of developing all of the components of the football industry is just not there. You know, but come to think about it, the pool bettors, serious corporate organizations are beginning to show interest in football. And all of those components, particularly if you make your league attractive, then you also had potentials of developing very strong, courageous players.
Your advice to the Super Eagles on preparations for AFCON 2019 in Egypt?
You will find that in comparison to other countries, African countries I mean, which take time off, play serious friendlies, you don't usually find that in Nigeria. We are late preparers of a competition. We just come late. And then maybe God is a Nigerian. Sometimes we manage to go beyond all of the group stages and then get to the serious stages, maybe lift the cup. But I think that what is critical at this point in time is to change our approach to the game. That's what I think is very critical at this point.
That's Agbona Wuke, a journalist and former member of the Nigerian House of Representatives. And he was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Some European club football news now. Atletico Madrid of Spain and English Premier League leader Manchester City both posted victories Wednesday in first leg round of 16 UEFA Champions League matches. Host Atletico Madrid kept Cristiano Ronaldo in check and defeated Juventus 2-0. Defenders Jose Maria Jimenez and Diego Godin scored late goals for Atletico. Meanwhile, in Germany, Man City also got a couple of late goals, including a 90th-minute winner from Raheem Sterling to beat Schalke 3-2. Second-leg matches in the Man City-Schalke and Atletico-Juventus series will be played in England and Italy, respectively, on March 12th. Elsewhere, Kylian Mbappe, voted the best young player at last year's World Cup in Russia, scored his league-leading 20th goal of the season Wednesday for runaway French league leader Paris Saint-Germain. PSG beat visiting Montpellier 5-1. Just ahead, the National Basketball Association resumes its regular season later Thursday night. But first, these Voice of America programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
It's been a long week. You worked hard. Probably need a break. I can help you with that. I'm Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This weekend, tune in and relax, energize, connect with great music and people from across the African continent. This Sunday's 55-minute program features gorgeous Pan-African music from 9 different countries. Song of the Week, Muscatella, stirs up tasty Ghanaian and Calypso flavors you're gonna love. And last but not least, my feature interview with marimba band Rio Mira will get you in tune with your Afro-Pacific brothers and sisters. So come on, peepsters, join me this Sunday at 1505 and 20500 UTC. They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association resumes its regular season schedule later Thursday night with 6 games. One of the marquee matchups will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks will host the Boston Celtics. The Bucks have the NBA's best record at 43 wins and 14 losses, And they also have one of the league's best players in Giannis, who captained one of the teams at the recent NBA All-Star Game in Charlotte, North Carolina. The Celtics, meanwhile, have some of the best young talent in the NBA. And so we could possibly see these two teams in the NBA playoffs. The Celtics have a record of 37 wins and 21 losses. And I know they see this game later Thursday night against the Bucks as a real test about how good they can be. There will also be a couple of NBA games in California later Thursday night featuring some all-star players, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. They'll be at home in an all-California matchup against the Sacramento Kings. The Warriors have a record of 41 victories and 16 defeats. And they also have some great players like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in their backcourt. Also in California, LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers will try to defuse James Harden and the Houston Rockets. James Harden also participated in that recent NBA All-Star game. He is the league's reigning most valuable player, and so we'll see whether he can topple LeBron in Los Angeles, California. Joining us now with a package of golf news is my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson. And Jim says he'll be teeing off with a fun and fast golf event in Australia.
Six holes is so short, anything can happen.
Six holes per knockout round in a match play format makes the Handa Super Six tournament in Perth, Australia, arguably one of the fastest and unpredictable golf events spectators and players can enjoy. New Zealand's Ryan Fox beat Adrian Otegi of Spain 3-2 in the final to claim his first European Tour win.
Been a tough day. I think I went down the last and all bar the final, and the conditions were pretty brutal again, and it was pretty tough yesterday as well, so I'm very happy to be standing here.
The 32-year-old Fox finished 8-under par after 54 holes of stroke play and earned a bye into the last 16 of the six-hole knockout stages. Fox maintained his cool amid a hectic pace until he had a chance to catch his breath ahead of the final.
I just felt really calm. I think I was a bit quick early, in the quarter and the semi, and got away with it. And I guess I had a bit more of a chance to just sit down and take stock of things after the semi. I literally walked straight from the 18th to the tee in the previous matches, and it was nice to just relax and get focused for the final.
Otegi was happy he kept improving all week.
It's been a good week. Second is a solid week. What I felt is that I went like from low to up during the week, so that's good as well. That's a good feeling.
He approached the event one shot and one hole at a time.
I just tried to give myself some birdie chances, which I did. I putted well. I putted way better than yesterday as well. The first few days, my short game was good as well. So I don't know. I just tried to go hole by hole, doing my job, which I did well.
In the third place playoff match, Paul Dunne of Ireland needed an extra hole to get past Zimbabwe's Scott Vincent and claim third place. Dunne found the short six-hole stage tricky.
Normally match play momentum is so important, but in six holes you can't even get momentum. It's a matter of throwing shocks in people's faces and seeing how you react to it. So that was a shock for me on the 17th.
Dunne would have liked to have been higher in the final standings.
I played nicely all week. Third is pretty good, but and given the circumstances, probably a couple better would have been nice,
Fox finds the match play format much like playing sports growing up.
I grew up playing team sports. I guess I played a lot, like 15, 20 years of team sports. So you get used to just trying to beat someone. And I quite like that. And, it's a bit different than trying to beat the golf course.
Dunne is a fan of the unique event.
Yeah, it's a good format. It's different. I think everyone around the green enjoyed us. The excitement kind of five or six times a day as opposed to, just once a week. Yeah, there definitely could be more, but I enjoyed the golf sixes as well, kind of the similar format except it was a team. So, I think it's entertaining.
Fox says match play is a bit more forgiving than traditional stroke play.
If you hit a bad shot, you're only losing a hole, although losing a hole in a six-hole match is a little harder than an 18-hole match, but it's not like coming down the stretch where if you make a double or a triple, you're out of the tournament. So It's a little bit of a freer format.
And he hopes more match play events can be put on the tour schedule.
You know, I'd like to see a little bit more of it on tour, and I think the event's been a success here the last few years. The crowds are fantastic, and I'm sure that the concept will work, you know, in other places in the world.
Many of the world's top golfers are just northwest of Mexico City this week for the World Golf Challenge Mexico Championship. Italian Francesco Molinari is beginning his 2019 season.
I've never been a really fast starter of the season, so usually my first few events is kind of a warm-up to get into form, but hopefully this year will be different.
Molinari hopes to repeat his strong play from last year, knowing he has to be realistic.
We all know in golf there are a lot of good players and the margins are very small, so I might play as good golf as last year and not win any tournament. So I need to be aware of that, and I need to measure myself not so much on the wins, but, you know, on how I feel on the course, how I play. And that's going to be the goal for the season, to try and improve what I feel I can still improve and maintain what I was doing well last year.
The Italian veteran says the year will be long.
It's different to show up as the Race to Dubai champion from last year. I'll try to put up a good defense of that title, and looking forward to the season. You know, I know it's not going to be easy to repeat. But, you know, it's a long season. I'm glad to finally get started and hopefully get off to a strong start here in Mexico.
Matt Wallace of England described some of the challenges, which include heat and altitude.
It's a great course. It's a different course, and especially with the altitude. It's like Cran on steroids, I said to Dave, my caddy. So it's with the warmth and stuff, the ball's going to be travelling a long way, so it'll be difficult to control, but we're in good shape.
Joost Luiten of the Netherlands also finds playing in Mexico a bit different.
It's always a bit of a funny golf course because the ball goes, you know, so far, and I think that's the hardest thing to adjust to, trusting your numbers that you hit out here, and it's a golf course where you got to be straight off the tee, so I like that, and hopefully I can make some putts.
He is also trying to figure out the difference in ball flight at more than 2,200 meters above sea level.
Sometimes when you launch it even high, it will go even longer, so controlling the ball flight is really key out here, to control the distance of the ball. Some guys try to hit it a little bit lower so they don't have the big difference in how far it's going to go compared to normal altitude, but for me, I just take the numbers that I get on the trackman, and I try to see if they're the same on the golf course, and just trust that and go on those numbers.
Luiten is also returning to competition after wrist surgery.
You don't know what to expect, really, because you had an operation on your wrist, and you just don't know how it's going to feel after the operation. You hope it's going to feel great, but you never know for sure. But I must say, after 3 months of recovering, it felt really good. And you don't lose the game of golf. You know, you just got to trust your body again.
Wallace is constantly working to be better.
I'm always trying to improve my swing, because I don't think this game really stops. I want to improve. I want to get better as a player. And that's the way I go about it. And I know that if I feel my swing is in good shape going onto the first tee, it gives me confidence, and that's what I play off.
Players like Matt Wallace find perspective in the competition to hopefully come out on top.
These guys don't care about me, so why should I really worry about them, you know? So I'm going to do my own thing, go and play hard and try and put myself in position come the end of the week.
British golfer Matt Wallace. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy golf package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten has a profile on a young American sprinter who some are calling the next Usain Bolt. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In 2017, 8-time Olympic champion Usain Bolt ran his final race at the Track and Field World Championships in London. He retired that day not only holding a bronze medal, but also holding on to world record times in both the 100 meters at 9.58 seconds and the 200 meters at 19.19 seconds. Well, one American sprinter is chasing those records. His name is Noah Lyles, and at just 21 years old, he's one of the most talked about athletes in track and field. Last year, Noah ran the 100-meter dash in 9.88 seconds to become the youngest U.S. 100-meter champion in over three decades. He also has a personal best time of 19.65 seconds in the 200-meter event. And in 2017, Noah became the 300-meter indoor world record holder with a time of 31.87 seconds. With that kind of speed, Noah was expected to win gold in the 100 meters at the Doha World Championships in September. However, Noah says he'll forego the 100-meter event to focus solely on the 200-meter dash.
How fast can I run? Well, truthfully, I have many dreams. I have dreams where I run 9:41. I have dreams where I have, it wasn't a dream, but I have ideas where I'm going to run 18 seconds. 18 seconds.
Speed runs in Noah's family. His father won gold in the 4x400 relay at the World Championships in 1995. His mother competed as a student for Seton Hall University. His younger brother, Josephus, has carried on the family tradition as a professional runner in both the 400 and 800 meters. The two brothers have their sights set on Tokyo 2020, and mom, Keisha Kane, is already seeing gold.
Tokyo, woo, 2020. Let's say, okay, I'm gonna predict that Noah's. This is my prediction. I predict Noah will win the 200, and I'm going to predict Josephus will medal in the 400. That's my prediction.
Victory for Noah is usually capped off with a few dance moves and maybe even a backflip. He says it's all part of performing from the heart.
Too many people go out and they're just here to get business done. And when you put on a show, you're expressing your inner emotion. You're expressing what you love, this love that you have for the sport, this love that you have for your life, this love that you have for the people who have helped you get there. And just running, that's boring.
Boring is not a word that would describe Noah. In the past few months, he's walked the runway in Paris, painted a pair of shoes for his mom, and designed T-shirts for the Boston Marathon. And he spends hours cutting extended play versions of his favorite hip-hop songs, a hobby he says that has stayed with him throughout his life.
I started working with music. I have loved music since I was little. My mom always played music throughout the house. And I think that's where I originally got it from. Always listening to different things, always trying to find different artists, different songs that express emotion. And then I got to this point where I was starting to write down songs. And I was like, this is actually pretty good. Well, maybe if I throw on a beat with this, hey, that actually sounds kind of nice.
And another thing that would sound kind of nice to Noah, Olympic gold medalist. We'll keep our eyes on Noah Lyles. And that's all from me. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. Yes, we'll definitely keep our eyes on Noah Lyles. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Fubara Onyenabo, who we heard from during Wednesday's show. Fubara talked with Iron Mike Mbonye about the new Basketball Africa League, recently announced by the NBA and FIBA. Fubara Onyenabo is excited about the new Basketball Africa League, and so am I. It's scheduled to tip off in January 2020. And that wraps up the February 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Bill Andrade. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clote of VOA Africa. I am in Nigeria to cover the general election. Listen to my daily reports when you tune in to our news shows. Africa News Tonight, Daybreak Africa, Nightline Africa, and International Edition for the latest from Lagos.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. Can the United States and China step back from the brink of their trade war before President Trump imposes more tariffs on Chinese imports? We'll talk about the politics and substance of the trade talks with our special guest, Robert Daly, director of the Kissinger Institute on China and the United States at the Wilson Center. That's Press Conference USA this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
The outermost layer of Earth's atmosphere, called the exosphere, is said to extend to about 10,000 kilometers above the surface. This layer of the atmosphere is mostly hydrogen. Scientists have found that when the hydrogen atoms in the exosphere scatter their protons, they produce a kind of halo effect called the geocorona, which some consider to be an extension of the atmosphere. A new study published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, Space Physics, suggests that with the geocorona, Earth's atmosphere reaches out to about 630,000 kilometers, or twice the distance to the Moon. The study authors say they were able to accurately measure the extent of the geocorona by analyzing some 20-year-old data gathered by the NASA ESA Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, or SOHO. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, political fallout over U.S. President Donald Trump's declaration of a national emergency. The move, designed to obtain more funding for a border wall without congressional approval, has prompted lawsuits and met with growing public opposition. An update on U.S. politics next on Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.